Today's program was brought to you by VisitNapaValley.com, the official page for travel to the Napa Valley, America's legendary wine, food, arts, and wellness capital. For more information, visit www.visitnapavalley.com.
HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Health. Thanks for tuning in to the Heritage Radio Network. We are going to be doing a little chat about accessing affordable farmland and the crucial role of funders. We're checking in this week and next with some of the panelists and leaders behind Food and Enterprise. Food and Enterprise is a social impact, mission-driven event dedicated to promoting understanding and collaboration amongst multiple stakeholders: farmers, entrepreneurs, consultants, funders, and investors, all who are coming together with the aim of financing a better local food system. The annual conference kicks off February 27th and runs through March 1st. Today, we're on the line with Dorothy Suput of the Carrot Project. Dorothy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Erin. Thank you.
So you are going to be sitting on a panel looking at kind of creating access to funding for affordable farmland for new farmers and for farmers in general. And that really is an extension of the work you do through the Carrot Project. Can you tell us a little bit about the project and kind of how it came to be?
Sure. So the Carrot Project started 10 years ago. And at that point, we were really much in a research phase of asking, how do farmers access financing, and why are there a lot of farmers that I was working with at the time that were unable to access financing? And so we started a research project that involved over surveys of 700 farmers and different focus group with lenders to try to get at that question. And what we heard was the farmers said, no, there's not capital, and what we heard from the lenders was, yes, there is capital. And of course, the picture as we know now is a lot more complicated than that. There is capital, but it's really about accessing capital that's appropriate and many times working with people that understand your business. And so that's what kind of launched our programs in terms of trying to find a way, in this case, finding capital that was different. So we work with investors, but also building on existing resources and organizations that already exist. And so the Carrot Project partners with investors, farmers, as well food businesses and lenders, different types of lenders, to set up and run our technical assistance and financing programs.
Now, you guys are based in Somerville, Massachusetts, but you're a Midwest girl, and then you also spent some time in Switzerland. And before we kind of move forward, I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about how these different perspectives have informed your view for the Carrot Project and your sense of the best way to kind of support farmers and farm businesses.
Sure. I think the having grown up in the Midwest, the biggest take home was that farming has always been a business and a really important part of a family's income. But it's never, if you will, it's not looked at in any dreamy way or fantastical way. It's really a business and a way to make money using the natural resource base that is made available to people. And so I think that kind of sense of farming as a business has informed a lot of why we are focused on the work that we do in the Carrot Project. I think that where the Swiss, my time in Switzerland came into play was having a, you know, obviously I was there for 4 years. I had a lot of exposure to a very different food system than the traditional, conventional one in the Midwest and in the United States. And I was exposed to, you know, where people valued farming for all the many things that it brings to our society, as well as a very conscious effort to purchase and draw up policies to support local farms and the purchase of local farms. So I think the combination of those two experiences kind of made me say, wow, you know, farming is definitely a business, and how do we make it happen? Because if we want all of the things, you know, if we want community local economic development, if we want to save our farmland, if we want to, you know, benefit from the environmental practices that sustainable and organic farmers are using, they have to be able to make a living from it. And so that, seeing that happen in Switzerland and kind of marrying that with my experience as a growing up was, you know, had a lot to do with kind of where we have ended up with the Carrot Project.
So can you talk a little bit about the type of people, the farmers that you work with, and what exactly you do to help them kind of access funding for their business? I'm curious, like, do you find them or do they find you? And is there kind of some themes or trends or focus areas that you guys have found success in over the last few years?
Yeah, so we work with a large range of farmers and farm businesses in terms of the type of production and the size and the scale. The predominant, I would say like 70 to 80% of the businesses we work with are something that you would call a beginning farmer, meaning that they've been in operation from basically 0 to 10 years, probably with a sweet spot somewhere in there between 2 to 5 years. And the way that we find them is predominantly through referral networks. We have very strong relationships with organizations in all of the states and regions where we work. So that would be, you know, it could be a nonprofit, it could be a Department of Agriculture, universities, there's a variety of different support programs, could be slow money groups, that are referring farmers to us because they realize that they either need some type of financing or that they have needs around business technical assistance, specifically around this financial decision-making, you know, perfecting your spreadsheet, and trying to figure out what is the best type of financing to access for my business.
That makes a lot of sense. And do you work with like livestock and vegetable and dairy producers, or do you focus in a particular sector?
No, we work with all types of farming operations, and we also work with food processors that, you know, are working with multiple farmers. So some of the businesses that we work with are creameries, or they're aggregators of, you know, bean production, or doing other type of value added or processing as well.
So where does the money come from? I mean, I'm assuming you're not just, you know, writing checks to fund folks. So how do you fund your work? And then what are the kind of like main partners you use to help farmers access funding?
Yeah, so we are a nonprofit, and we are not a business. And the reason that we're a nonprofit is because we very much see kind of the scope of agriculture and kind of a new agricultural system developing. And so we think a lot of the businesses that are successful are true entrepreneurs. There's no turnkey operation. They can't just, you know, it's very difficult to run this type of business because a lot of the infrastructure, which people at the F&E conference are very aware of, like all the different pieces aren't there, right? Whether it's infrastructure or research from academia or, you know, software or technology, whatever it is, you know, there's not necessarily the breeds and varieties that are, you know, optimal for the type of conditions we're growing under right now. And so we have focused, on working with referral organizations, and the type of them would be things like, what's a good one? So we work with the Hudson Valley Agribusiness Development. We work with NOFA Vermont, NOFA New York, NOFA Massachusetts. There's literally probably a handful from either 5 to 20 organizations in any state or region where we work that we, you know, keep in touch with and contact with in a variety of different ways, and based on kind of their closeness to the core type of business that we work with.
And kind of shifting gears back to the Food and Enterprise Conference, what is it that you think is kind of special or interesting about this conference? I mean, I know, especially in the food and farming world, there's so many events happening all the time. Why is this a program that you decided to get involved with?
Well, we decided to get involved with it for a couple of different reasons. One is that we have been active in some of the other slow money initiatives in the Northeast, both in Maine and in Boston, and so it seemed like it would make sense from that perspective. But probably more importantly is that we anticipate that, you know, they're bringing clients from, you know, and farmers and businesses from all over, and so because we work in parts of New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Vermont, it seemed to make sense that there's likely to be, you know, businesses there that we would like to know about, or at least to know about us. And the other part is, I think, because of the work that we do with farmers in particular, which is our, you know, where we started, and then we've kind of started to work with food processors, but we're very farm-based in what we do and how we approach things. And so I think we have a very strong understanding of their needs in terms of businesses, and particularly the earlier stage businesses, kind of what their needs are and where they're going. And so I think we can bring that as a resource to the, I forget what they call it, an entrepreneurship clinic, which I believe is on Saturday.
Nice.
In addition to participating in this land access panel.
So kind of final question as we're wrapping up here, but I always love to ask people, you know, if they had a magic wand, how would they use it to kind of grow their organization? What would that look like for you?
That's a great question. I think we would like to be able to work with a larger number of businesses. That would be the, you know, and to really help see them thrive over time. We've been operating, I said, for about 10 years. We've had loan programs and technical assistance programs for just 6 or 7. And so I think what I'd like to see is there's a lot out there right now in the news. Every few months you'll see an article that says something about how, like, nobody told me how hard it was to be a farmer. I can't really make a business out of it. And it's really not true. There are, you know, there's very good opportunities, and, you know, with some very careful strategic decision-making and really care to what you're doing, there is a way, you know, people can make a living. Nobody's going to get completely loaded, but you can have a satisfying life and lifestyle. And so I think that's an important message that we would like to, over time, kind of bring to the whole story and picture.
Awesome. Well, Dorothy, thank you so much for taking some time to give us a little bit of an insight into your work. And I would definitely recommend for folks who want to learn more, you can find them at their website, www.thecarrotproject.org. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you very much, Erin. I enjoyed it.
So for more on the Food and Enterprise Conference, to get tickets or to follow the conversation, you can find them at www.foodandenterprise.com. For Heritage Radio Network, I'm Erin Fairbanks.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.